Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us on this Thursday. A lot to going on today, including Guy Gadowski, the head coach of the Nittany Lion ice hockey team. Also, Kevin Kugler from Dial Global and Big Ten Network joining us today as well. Plenty to talk about with the filing of the lawsuit by the Paterno family against the NCAA and also individuals being named in that suit. We'll talk about the conversation last night Bob Costas had with Wood Sollers, Dan McGinn, and Dick Thornburg, and get your feel as to what you thought of all that. And, of course, moving forward, the NCAA is emphasizing working with Penn State and working with Senator George Mitchell in all this. And Senator Mitchell so far has filed nothing but glowing reports about Penn State and what they have been doing. And we'll discuss that. More on wrestling, making the cut at the Olympic Games. Phillies and Red Sox conclude their series tonight. And I think this will be an indie-free session today. All right. First of all, above the noise, here's Dan Patrick. Welcome. Great to have you with us. Steve Jones, Kevin Herr, taking you through a muggy Thursday afternoon. And it is that. It is a muggy Thursday afternoon. A little dose of summer here for us. We'll be talking with Guy Gadowski, the Penn State ice hockey coach, next half hour. Kevin Kugler of Dial Global Big Ten Network will join us in the 4 o'clock half hour. Right now we are joined by a personal relative of the Andretti family based on how he's talked the last month. What was that?
Hang on. There. I think it's working now. My microphone wasn't working. You sabotaged my microphone.
No, I believe that the Jack Daniels did.
No, I am not not a relative. I'd like to say friend, but I don't think that's even a reach.
You're not even an acquaintance.
No. I'm definitely an acquaintance. Definitely an acquaintance of Michael. We spent 2 hours together years ago.
Doing what?
He had Michael Andretti Power Sports in the area. And he was in doing an appearance, and we spent a couple of hours together just talking about, well, at that time it was CART, but just talking about CART and his Motorola team at the time. Would he remember that? Absolutely not. I remember it like it was yesterday.
Okay, so let's move forward.
kind of like the first day I met you. I remember it like it was yesterday. Lord knows I've tried to forget it, but that's a different story.
I'm like Michael. I don't remember.
I'll tell you what, it has been a rather busy 24 hours in your neck of the woods, the way it sounds.
Well, it has been, and let's delve into that just a bit here. I thought Bob Costas did an excellent job last night of asking pertinent and important questions, but also allowing the principals, Dan McGinn, Dick Thornburg, and Wick Sollers, to speak and give thoughtful, deep answers.
I also, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I wanted to mention before I forgot, they're rebroadcasting that today at about 7 o'clock, the Costas tonight.
Good. Okay. Which will be better, I think, for most people anyway, because it did not occur last night until after the Wings-Blackhawks game was over with Seabrook scoring in overtime for the Hawks to win Game 7. But at the same time, they also were contractually obligated through advertisers to carry their postgame show, which then kicked another half hour onto it. So it was late last night. It started about 11:35 or so, and didn't end until early this morning, about 12:35. I watched all of it, and I thought Bob Costas did an outstanding job of asking pertinent questions, intelligent questions, also explaining that, hey, look, you know, he's not coming to any conclusions yet himself, but he gave them a forum to talk. The lawsuit has been filed. Now, I want to talk about something to all of you that I talked about extensively last summer when I went out to speak. And when I would go out to speak to groups after the free report was released and then, of course, the sanctions, people were angry, which I understand completely. There are a lot of things in this lawsuit that I think bear out why people are angry. But people were angry. And so I would spend the first 15 to 20 minutes wherever I was speaking. And really, as far as I was concerned, I did the same thing as Bob Costas did last night. I listened. And I gave people the opportunity to vent because they were mad. But I also wanted to wrap up that session and then transition into the reason I was there to talk about the upcoming football team. And it's the same thing I want to talk about right now. If you are upset with all of this, and you're upset with the NCAA, and you feel very strongly about Joe and so forth, there are a couple things I want to say. Number one, I have pointed out many times. Louis Freeh's opening statement, and this is going to be obviously regurgitation, but again, every once in a while, there's somebody that didn't hear you say it, so you want to repeat it again. He said it in his opening statement, Joe Paterno, from what we understand, wanted to cooperate, but because of his illness and subsequent death, we could not talk with him. Now, unfortunately, he changed his tune in February about that, but in July, that is what he said. Then he said, we could not interview Tim Curley, legalities. We could not interview Gary Schultz, legalities. We could not interview Mike McQuarrie, legalities. Okay. So that was part of the opening statement. What people are looking for in anything this important is the truth and fairness. That's what people are looking for. They're looking for the truth and fairness. Once you hear their side of it, to give perspective, you know, what did that email mean? What were the meetings about? What was said in the meetings? Okay, when you contacted Second Mile, what did you tell them? You know, those questions that are critical questions in all of this that are right now absolutely unanswered by any report. Then we can sit down and we can say, I listened, I read what they wrote, I listened to their responses, I believe them. And you draw your conclusion in fairness based on that. Or if you read the report, you listen to their answers and you say, well, you know what, it doesn't add up to me, I don't believe them. Then that draws a different conclusion. But I think right now all people want are the truth and they want fairness. Now to the lawsuit. This was the other part that I talked about last summer, and I'll talk about right now. I said, if you're upset with all of this, I said, and based on listening to all of you tonight, many of you are, sanctions, how this has played out, the report, so forth. I said, many of you have looked at me and you've said, what can I do? And I said, to all of them in each group, and I said to each one of them, this is what you can do. There are people with means that are willing to fight this, because in order to fight this, you do need means. And at that point, there were like five or six groups that wanted to fight it. Now it turns out those five or six groups have combined into one suit. They're all together now. I said, in order to fight this, you have to have means, and there are people with means that are willing to fight this. I said, let them fight it, and let's see how it turns out. I said, but what you can do is you can show up at the stadium and make a difference. You can show up at the stadium and let John Urschel, Allen Robinson, Zach Zwinak, Bill Belton, Mike Hull, Glenn Carson, Daquan Jones, Malcolm Willis, you can show up in the stadium and you can tell them that you are behind them and behind Penn State football 100%. That you are behind the student athletes, and not only that, you can make a statement to the nation when you make your donations to children and youth causes, when you put children and youth causes in their proper perspective versus sports, and by showing up at fundraisers that take place outside the stadium and support them, but then inside the stadium, support them with your voices and your support, and let the world know that you think that Penn State football stands for a lot of great things. And you'll be the best recruiters that Penn State has in the world to let everyone know that Penn State is a great place to go, has a great culture, and has a loyal fan base that has issues in their sports in their proper perspective, too, and that passion is a great thing to have in any stadium. So that's where you can now make a difference. You can make a difference in supporting the student-athletes and supporting all the virtues that have carried Penn State football for decades that are being carried on by the current staff. There are 50 Penn State football players that in the spring semester earned a 3.0 GPA or better. Seven of them graduated from Penn State this fall and will play this year. John Urschel, Glenn Carson, Adam Gress, Stephen Obeng-Ajabon, Nate Cadogan, Malcolm Willis, and Ty Howell. They'll all play this season with their degrees. And there'll be others in August that will graduate that will also play this season with degrees. That's the Penn State football culture. That's why you need to be in the stadium supporting them and getting behind them all the way. People with means will fight for what you believe in. Let them.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Steve Jones, Roger Penske, great to have you on board.
You would not have used that if you knew. Did I ever tell you my Penske story? Do we have time for story time with Kevin?
Oh, such pain right now.
Should I let it go for later?
After we talk to Guy Gadowski.
I don't want
to
hold off Guy Gadowski. He's got a better voice than I do.
Look, when it's 86 degrees, I love to talk hockey. Guy, welcome back. It's great to have you on the show.
Hey, Steve. Thanks a lot.
Well, for you, let's get it. You took a little bit. You're in the coach's caravan near the end. The reception that you're getting in Penn State hockey's getting now that you have completed a full varsity season and now you have Pegula coming up.
Well, it's been exciting this whole time through. I don't think it's, you know, right from day one, it's been exciting. Not only here, but we go out nationally. Anywhere there is college hockey, they love to talk about Penn State and the Big Ten Hockey Conference, and certainly, you know, the caravan was no exception. It's been great. I think after the year we had, we beat some pretty darn good teams, and we did it in front of huge crowds. We had 19,500 in Philadelphia, so I think there's a ton of interest. And, you know, with the building coming along so well, it's a very exciting time here.
What can the Big Ten
The Big Ten Hockey Conference I can't stress enough how important it is for college hockey. Part of the reason is that the Big Ten Network will be broadcasting live games multiple times a week all across North America. And for those that know a little bit more about the recruiting of hockey, college hockey is in somewhat of a battle, I guess, for lack of a better word, with major junior, mostly in Canada, which we all compete for the best players in not only North America but around the world. And once you play major junior, you're ineligible for college. So we're competing for the same players. So what happens is across the border, they have restrictions for NCAA rules and things like that. So these major junior teams are recruiting these kids, right from 12, 13, 14 years, and they aren't allowed to hear from the colleges. So once the Big Ten network is live across Canada, then it's going to be great for the education across the border of college hockey, how great it is, how good it is, how exciting it is, and they're going to get a look at the atmosphere inside Pagoule Ice Arena and say, that's something I'd like to be a part of.
Also, I found interesting, you picked up a win at the very end against Wisconsin. Pagoule is going to be a standard 200x85, but not all the rinks in the Big Ten are the standard 200x85. Cole, for example, is a wider arena. I think Mariucci is as well. When you play in situations like that, because, I mean, this is something the old NHL they had to deal with. Boston was a smaller building.
Yep.
Chicago actually was a smaller building, and that affected center ice. How different is the style of play when you do have to play from a 200x85 versus a one that's wider?
Yeah, well, first of all, you're absolutely correct on that. The Kohl Center in Wisconsin is not quite Olympic size. I think it's 96 feet across, whereas Mariucci is a full 100. Here, NHL, and here on campus at Penn State, it's 85 feet. So to me, when I coached in Alaska, we were on an Olympic sheet. So I do understand the differences. I think that it can be a little more I think teams that concentrate on it, I think they're doing themselves a disservice because it's still hockey and it's still transition, meaning you can't stop and think too much. I think in hockey, if you stop and think, you're dead. And teams that sort of go into it thinking, oh, no, we have to change our game plan based on the size of the rink, I think can falter. But to me, the biggest difference, everybody talks about specialty teams. To me, the biggest difference is zone entry.
Right.
So if you can, like that, and last night there was just so little room until, you look at Seabrook's goal. That was one of the first times that you could, like, clearly carry the puck over the blue line. And what happens in a bigger sheet, in my estimation now, even though you might have three men back, that extra 15 feet allows you to enter the zone under control. To me, that's the biggest difference. And so I don't know when we're going to, Minnesota next year, how we're going to plan for that. But to me, that's the biggest difference. And I guess there's different schools of thought of which one's faster, which one's more exciting.
Recruiting, of course, is talent. It's need. It's personality. But I've always found that a big part of recruiting is the fit. I mean, yeah. The fit has to be right between staff, player, and staff, or university.
Exactly. I was just going to say, more so the institution, but yeah, you're absolutely right.
For you, in terms of looking for that fit, have you been comfortable with the players you've gone after that fit, and they feel they fit what the mission is at Penn State and of Penn State hockey?
Very much so. And to me, first, I appreciate and I understand the significance of having a fit with the staff. But for me, the most important thing is in the institution. And when you walk around campus, there's a real, and maybe it's because I can compare it to other universities. I don't know if everybody that's been here understands it because they're just so saturated in it. But the student body here has such a great work ethic, and it's more than work ethic. It's hard to explain, but they really understand very well that they make the university great. Like, they make Thon. Thon's unbelievable. They do that. When you go to Beaver Stadium and the atmosphere is phenomenal, they do that. And so they have a real it's almost a response. It's almost like a responsibility and understanding that what they put into the institution, they get out. And I think it's really important to get kids that have a work ethic, that want to not only be a part of something, but want to be a part of building something. Not just, hey, I'm going to go to this university and arrive and everything's going to be great and that's the way it is. I think at Penn State there's this real underlying culture of let's get it done together, let's make it great. And to me that's important. We don't like the players that just want to arrive someplace great. So for us, that's the first step, and we've been very fortunate. You look at guys like Tommy Olchek. I think he's our captain. He understands that as well as anybody, and also has brought that attitude to the team. So, yes, the guys we brought in, I think, fit that very well, and I think the leadership they are getting from our current players has been excellent in that sense as well.
Also an important part of recruiting is that a lot of times your student-athletes are your best recruiters. Have you discovered that your student-athletes now ingrained in what you wish to do and what you wish to accomplish have become your better recruiters?
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. Always. No matter how beautiful your institution is and how great academically and how wonderful the campus is and how great your facilities are, the student athletes, the relationships that they build and the people that they see when they come on their recruiting trips are always the most important. And yes, I love our guys. I absolutely love our guys. And I think, you know, it's not going to happen right away. And I expect to still improve in terms of your question. Do we all get it in terms of what our culture is and what we're trying to accomplish? So the answer is yes. As we have got 1 year under our belt of Division I hockey, and I think it's going to be a new found education, so to speak, when we see the great student body of Penn State in Pagoula Ice Arena. I think that's going to bring another exciting layer as to when people come on campus, they're not just going to look at the rink, they're going to listen to Tommy Olchek and David Glenn and Nate Jensen talk about how much fun it is to play in front of Penn State student body. So, yeah, they're always our most important recruiters, and yeah, we're starting to get it. You know what? I love the Penn State thing, but our players certainly love this Penn State thing too.
And very, very important because they are Penn State. The next part of this is scheduling I want to ask you about. You obviously have a block that is going to be your Big Ten block that you have to play, home and away. So now we get to the non-conference part. Football and basketball, to a point, really they have to have a certain amount of home games along the way financially. Penn State's a hot commodity. A lot of people would love to, after drawing 19,000 plus in Philly, drawing 12,000 in Pittsburgh, Penn State's a hot commodity. Do you have to balance that hot commodity and maybe even say no once in a while to a trip someplace because you do need a certain amount of home games at Pagoula?
Were you in our meetings this morning?
No, I was not. I'm just somebody who's been around for 35 years.
That's exactly the conversation we had this morning, and you're absolutely right. There's a number of venues that would like to have us there, and we're trying to balance which I think is great for our alumni. It's great for our brand, but at the same time, we also have a budget and we also have fans here in Center County region to service as well, for lack of a better word. They want to see us as many times in Pagoula Ice Arena, and it generates income for us. So it is a very delicate balance, and I'm not so sure what the top criteria is. Is it to serve locally? Is it to get your brand out? You know, there's different schools of thought. So I don't, you know what, I'm not going to answer your question. I know that's not what you wanted.
With all due respect, that's fine.
It's a balancing act. I don't have the answer yet.
No, and that's fine. See, that's an honest answer. Okay, an honest answer is, look, I really can't answer it for you right now because it's going to take a while to figure out, I think, what the priorities are, and then you develop what that balance is. I think it just takes time when it's all new.
Yeah.
I mean, I think...
Yeah, but it's interesting. That issue has popped up a number of times, and it's not only one that we talk about as a staff, but, you know, the athletic department is discussing as well. It's a tough issue. I don't know how. I don't know what way it's going to go yet.
I want to get to your staff. Your staff has had to go out with, take an expansion team, open up the doors to people, find talent, find the fit that we talked about, and vice versa. Give us an idea of the work ethic of the people that you have hired to work with you.
Yeah, well, first with Keith Fisher and Matt Lindsay, they've been with me for 6 years at Princeton, and together we did things that have never been accomplished at Princeton before. And I promise you, it was because of the work ethic of these guys. They love hockey and they love recruiting and they're road warriors. And they've probably been, because of our situation you just mentioned, we're an expansion team without draft choices. So with that being said, they have to go out and get these free agents and beat the pavement. And they've been traveling more in the last 2 years than I think they have all of, you know, their Princeton careers. And their work ethic is the number one criteria why I brought them here. They're great guys. They are very, very good people. and really good hockey minds, but they've got great work ethic, and they've been gone a lot. They have not had an easy job at all. And I give them so much credit. I really feel great about the guys we brought in. But they have to do, because you talked about the fit before, believe me, they don't just travel the rinks and say, I like that guy. You have a lot of homework to do on the fit, on what they're like as a teammate, what they're like as a student, what they're like as what kind of values do they bring. So there's a lot of homework involved, and they really work their tails off to do it. Another guy, actually, I'd like to talk about, you brought up the staff,
yes,
is Robert McLean.
Yeah.
He's our strength coach, and I promise you he is one of the very top in North America. And when you talk about hockey-specific strength training, I've spoken to – he worked in the NHL. I've spoken to general managers in the NHL, head coaches in the NHL, several NHL players. And besides them, the two – you know, if you go in Canada, there's a couple of hockey strength training gurus, and every one of them has said, this is the guy. This is the best guy out there. And I feel very fortunate that we had a chance to get him. And I can tell you that the results that this guy has achieved are just mind-blowing in terms of what he's able to do during the season is completely opposite from every experience I've had. Every other team, you come in September and your guys are big and strong and healthy and tough, and as you wear down through the long season and the grind, you lose weight, you lose strength, you lose explosiveness, and somehow Robert's been able to turn that around and get these guys stronger and heavier as the season goes on. So don't ask me how he does it, but I'm absolutely thrilled with this.
And look, there are points in the season, you know, points during a calendar year where you're not allowed to have contact, but as the strength coach, he does. That's why he is so critical to what you do.
He's huge, and he's an NHL guy. I mean, he's got two Stanley Cup rings. He's a
Red Wings, I think.
No, that's actually our equipment manager works the Red Wings as well as Phoenix. Right. He's got one with Colorado Avalanche and one with New Jersey Devils.
Yeah, yes, who used to be the Colorado Rockies. See, they're all tied in the end. who used to be the Kansas City Scouts. So one final question for you. What is it about your job after the experience that you've had and the stops you've had where you get up and start a week and say, you know what, I'm really glad I chose this as my profession?
Well, are you talking about the profession? I love the game, and I love the student athletes that we have here at Penn State and their work ethic. But as far as there's a couple things, you know what, State College is fantastic, and I don't even want to tell anybody because you sort of want to keep it a secret. You know, like it's got the best of everything: restaurants, big time athletics, everything for your children. But you don't have to fight traffic for 2 hours to get there, and I absolutely love it. I just love State College. So that's one. What I expected, the best student body in the world. I knew, you know, you hear the reputation, you see it on TV. I until I got here, I didn't get a chance to be a part of it. And now that I have, that's something that I value even more, and certainly never want to give up. I love the atmosphere that the student body and the alumni bring to this, to all our athletic events. And then you mentioned it before, the importance of the Big Ten Conference is something that was a real attraction. And that's something I think is going to be great for college hockey all across, you know, not just here, but great for college hockey, and I'm very hungry to be a part of that.
Well, your value in a short period of time is something I think a lot of people really, really cherish around here, I think a lot of people are thrilled to know that you're the head hockey coach here. Thank you so much for the time you gave us today. We appreciate it very, very much.
No, I appreciate the kind words, and thanks for having me on, Steve.
Guy Gadowski, who I asked him off the air, I said, do you want to stick around for story time with Kevin?
And he said, sure, I'd love to, but it's a really busy day today.
No, it was met with stunned silence. We'll come back with story time with Kevin. Kevin Kugler, though, Dial Global, Big Ten Network, just to make sure you stick around for the next half hour after story time with Kevin. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout. Like a 2012 Ford Fiesta 5-door hatchback SE. Call for our lowest price promise, 888-536-8017. A 2011 Ford Fusion 4-door sedan with 4-wheel drive, just $14,992. 2012 Hyundai Veloster 3-door coupe, $16,899. 2010 Ford F-150 Super Crew, $25,998. 2010 Jeep Wrangler Unlimited 4-door Sahara, $26,994. And a 2010 Ford Roush Mustang 427R. Call for the price, 888-536-8017. These deals won't last, so hurry in. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout, 24/7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
This is where I wish we had the on-the-mark webcam rolling. You ought to see Kevin shaking it in the studio right now.
There's a reason that webcam is not rolling right now.
Wow. What? Shorts and a t-shirt?
There's a reason why it's not working right now. I am in shorts, though, ironically enough. Not that you care, but I thought I'd share that.
I'm dressed professionally in slacks and a golf shirt.
Good for you. That's why your name's on the top of the show.
We can have, I mean, you know, but I don't know if anybody'd be interested, but I mean, you know, if we want to put a webcam in here in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, keywords 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. I mean, they can see the Sunbury Motors studio. Maybe I'd do a tour in here sometimes. No, not that exciting, but I will say this. This is as nice a studio as I've ever worked in.
Yeah, you know, you're just trying to eat up all the time, so we don't have time for story time. I know what you're doing.
Oh, go ahead.
All right, it's a real quick one. You called me Roger Penske, which, as you know, makes me angry because I'm not a huge Roger Penske fan, because I felt that, you know, Roger Penske kind of ran open wheel racing for a long time. Stop sleeping. Well, how much did I dislike?
Do you rent U-Haul versus Ryder?
Well, exactly. I have never picked up a Penske truck when I've moved, and I at one time went 35 miles with the oil light on because all they had was Pennzoil. I know a lot of people would say that's a little crazy, but I think it's standing up for what you believe in.
I think you expanded the sentence by one word. I don't think people would use the word little.
It's standing up for what you believe in. Yeah, all they had was Pennzoil. I'm like, well, I'm not going to use that. I'll have to go to Bloomsburg.
So if a U-Haul is $75,
yes,
and a Ryder truck is $37.50.
Yes.
You'll pay the $75.
No, I'll find a third option.
And if your car is on the verge of death and there's only Pennzoil between here and Danville, you won't do it?
Well, first off, I won't let that happen again. And secondly, no, I won't do it.
And your reason is over a person you've never met before?
That's exactly right. Yeah. Now, it's not as bad as it used to be because he doesn't run things in IndyCar the way he did before. You can tell by the fact that his drivers don't win every week anymore. Not a big Chip Ganassi fan either.
So, in other words, you don't shop at Target?
I've walked in the store. My wife shops there occasionally.
That was the looniest 3 minutes I've ever had on the air.
I've never smoked a Marlboro, but you don't have any problem with that either.